This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code CAST.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome back to Forecast Episode 18. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Scott Johnson.
And we're joined once again for part two of three with Molly Wood and Colleen Kelly. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
Woo. Are you guys excited?
Yes. I'm scared because turns out Colleen talks real smart.
Colleen, I knew was smart, but man, that last episode threw down.
That chick is wicked smart. No.
Dude, I'm out of my league. I'm sorry. You guys are like real commentators, and I'm just a person.
No, see, that's the difference. You actually know things. We pretend to know things.
I am full of dookie. You are wicked smart.
Oh, there's the Boston thing. I just like being around. I like having the women on the show because, I don't know, it brings us up a few notches, Tom.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah, we're classy dames.
In case you don't know,
white people.
Molly Wood, host of CNET TV and writer for CNET.com. Colleen Kelly, twit producer, the woman who makes stuff happen. I don't know. What is your title?
Executive producer?
I'm an engineer.
Engineer. Okay. Well, you do pretty much everything.
Like I said, executive producer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, snap.
All right. We don't want to get you in trouble with anyone, so let's move on to our email predictions from listeners. Andrew Cummings writes in, a crazy-ass prediction that has been floating around in my mind recently has been the idea of a real-life mount like in World of Warcraft. Maybe in 100 to 500 years.
Phew.
Power storage.
I've been thinking about that too, really.
Think about it either way you want. Power storage, one-off robot manufacturing, von Neumann machines, anyone? And computer control will come together to let us do away with cars and ride giant robotic cats or birds or horses. I would love to ride to work on a huge realistic-looking robot tiger, wouldn't you?
I just can't get over the idea of that poor guy sitting at home wishing for a real-world mount. Just someday. Someday.
I love the geek pecking order. The fact that I'm sitting here after ranting about Mass Effect during that whole last episode and now thinking myself totally superior to World of Warcraft guy.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. But what do you think?
To his point, I'd ride around on a giant chicken or something. I think that'd be great.
Giant chicken. I think tiger. Come on.
Well, I mean, the tiger's cool and all, but the chicken seems like, if it's a big chicken, like ostrich-sized chicken.
Why the chicken crossed the road? Because I damn well felt like it.
Level 80.
I will not settle for anything less than a flying mount.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that hurts so close to home, what she just said right there.
And you know it did for Andrew as well. I think that's an awesome prediction. Thank you, Andrew, for sending it our way. Anybody can send us predictions. You can email them to forecastpodcast@gmail.com or just post them up on our blog, forecastpodcast.com. So let's get down to why we are really here, the long-term predictions. And we kind of ventured into long-term predictions last episode a little bit. But these are the long-term sci-fi, weird, strange turn your world upside down sorts of things. Maybe roughly 50 to 100 years, but just longish. As long as you really want. Molly Wood, let's start with you.
I thought we were doing midterm predictions.
Well, you can make this a mid. This is, you know, you can save the long for the crazy ass.
Molly lives in the now.
Yeah, when you're Molly Wood, you make the predictions whatever you want them to be.
Right.
Boom. Yeah. Well, I've been thinking a lot about meat lately.
Sure, as we all do.
Yep, and real world mounts.
That's one option. And
real world meat.
But I've been thinking about, I mean, I'm not the only one. I don't know that this is a particularly original prediction, but I haven't actually read it, like, written down by someone else. So I think that we are within 50 years, 20 to 50 years of a really on the mass scale growing our own meat and having a society that subsists on vegetarian meat, basically grow your own meat. And I think there will be a supplemental economy of artisanal meat. You know, like you can actually pay a lot extra if you're really rich for animals that are hand raised and you know, hand killed, and it'll be like, but it will be unbelievably expensive.
Hand killed and brutalized.
Meat, I'll take the hand killed cow. Please.
Was it tenderized before or after the murder?
I'll be like those people at Whole Foods. What did the chicken eat Do you know if it ate bugs? I'm not making this up. A lady actually said this at Whole Foods one day. Do you know if it ate bugs? Because it's really good for them to eat bugs. And the guy was like, I don't actually know.
The guy's like, it probably ate a bug, ma'am.
I'm
sure it did.
There's a lot of bugs in the world, and it's possible one of them found his way into the chicken's mouth.
Next time you see her, tell her I got a tree she can hug. I need some serious hugging out here. But anyway,
she doesn't even care about trees. Is the
you know
thing.
What?
She mostly cares
Berkeley,
about parking
all I
spots.
Can say is, did it taste good? Good.
It makes them taste better if they eat bugs. Anyway, I think there will be a market for artisanal bug eating animals, but for the most part, vegetarian meat is the future of humanity.
So how do you see this happening? Growing yourself, like we would all have our own little vats at home to procure our meat, or how would this work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, they're working on it now on the sort of laboratory scale. I mean, they have grown meat.
It's actually a thing.
It is starting to happen.
They're thinking they're pretty close to being able to sell it.
Right.
Not mass produce it. Effectively yet. So the 20 to 50 years seems pretty right.
I think 20 to 50 years is when it will start to be mass produced. And then I think that, you know, within 100 years, absolutely. There's no reason that we're not going to have homegrown food creators, that we're not going to have nanotechnology that basically, you know, assembles food for us on site. That there's going to be no need for this kind of industrial society in which, you know, there's giant silos and factories where food is created. I mean, that just, there's no reason that we won't get good enough at energy harvesting and at replication, you know, for to go all Star Trek about it.
But
and
you know what? We got to have our, couple this to with
personal
another
food creation. Really? Which one?
We have to solve the problem of the fact that we have insatiable appetites for tasty, tasty food.
Mm-hmm.
But if we eat all we want, we become fat, disgusting sloths.
Oh, that is within 15 years. Dude, the 10 to 15 years, they have pills already that basically let you burn off any excess calorie. Like, and if there's anything that we humans want, it's definitely going to be the ability to eat like pigs and look like models. And that is soon. That is forthcoming. That's not even like far out.
And people will pay good money for that. I mean,
oh, heck yeah.
If you think about Penn and Teller on Bullshit, they always talk about, you know, oh, well, we invented condoms so we could have all the sex we want. Now we just need to invent something so we can eat all the food we want.
Oh,
and
totally.
I totally agree.
There's a reason that insurance covers Viagra and covered it for years when it wouldn't cover birth control. I mean,
combining those two
issues. We have priorities.
We're not going to, like, have some sort of plastic thing we put over our mouth while we eat.
Vegetarian sex. Wait, what?
Yeah. Plus, I don't like hearing about Penn Jillette talking about condoms because there's just too many visual problems I have with that.
Because of the yuck factor.
It's Penn Jillette, dude. Ugliest man on earth. I mean, no offense,
awesomest
Penn.
Man. No, I grew up with Penn Jillette. Hackers was the movie of my youth. And you know what?
Dude, I love Penn Jillette.
Wait, what?
He's awesome.
When
but
was
he's
he in
ugly
Hackers?
As sin.
Yeah, he was the system administrator. His password was God.
That's not Penn Jillette. What?
That's right. No, he was in it.
That's
I'll
Penn
concur.
Jillette?
I concur.
We've got the workload of like 10 people. I think we got a hacker. You hapless techno weenie.
Hapless techno weenie.
I do love that movie,
That's
though.
Classic. So
it'll be really healthy and we'll stay skinny because of pills.
Will we be able to combine those two things so that the meat that we grow already mm-hmm. has the chemicals genetically engineered into it so that it actually stops us from absorbing too much of the meat fat?
Probably a very good point. Oh, yeah, because there's no reason for it not to be way healthier than actual meat is. Somebody sent me a package of Spam today. Have you looked at the nutritional value of Spam?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been able to eat Spam. I love the concept.
Oh, my sweet Lord. Is Spam bad for you?
And what's in there? What do we got?
So they sent a single serving of Spam, right? It's 250 calories, 200 of which are derived from fat. There's a target percentage of calories that you're supposed to get from fat. I think it's more like 20 to 30%, not 80. And then it's like 40% of the saturated fat. So say it's like 32 grams of fat, then 29 of them are saturated fat. I mean, it's just a horrible food. It's horrible. And I have noticed that because I've been eating sort of mostly vegetarian, and I've noticed a significant difference in my health and weight just from doing that and level of energy throughout the day. And so I think we can actually be a much healthier society by living on vegetarian meat. And I'm not saying that we should have to like not have bacon. I just think we're gonna make our own great
bacon.
Well,
you'll bacon. Have bacon. It'll just be fake and bacon.
It'll be fake.
Yeah.
But I don't even think we'll
bacon,
know the
we can make it better, stronger, faster.
Yeah, when we
so
have
what, can
nano
you
bacon,
describe what Spam tastes like? Because I have to admit,
oh God,
publicly,
are
I've
you
never
crazy?
Tasted Spam.
I did not eat that. I'm not eating it. I just was looking at it.
It tastes like salty fat with a hint of pork flavoring.
Is it like corned beef? Sold. I like corned beef.
It's similar. It's a little lighter than corned beef.
Sold.
Yeah. I don't know.
It got to have some spam musubi.
I'm all over that.
Yes.
Spam musubi.
I know. I've heard good. It's really good, but I just can't get over the tongue-lookingness of it. It looks like a tongue.
Yeah, it does. It does look like a tongue. And I think spam is an interesting, brings up an interesting thought here, which is we've kind of done this with a lot of processed foods, where we've sort of taken away the idea of, like, nobody goes out into the field and harvests a little bit of grain and mills it and then makes the flour and makes the bread, right? We kind of we've made that into an industrial process. And so the growing
Thank
your own meat
God, I do not want to meet the cow.
Yeah,
well, I want to eat the hamburger.
Growing your own meat is the same sort of idea where we're actually saying, you know what, we're just going to make this into a process. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wonder if we would go through the same thing we're going through with processed foods right now, other kinds of processed foods, like, say, take cheese, for instance, where we had really good cheese for most of our, you know, history of cheese eating peoples, mm-hmm. at least, the, you know, because not everybody could
cheese
eat
eaters.
It.
We call them the French.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I surrender.
And then we had the processed cheese because that's easier and it's faster mm-hmm. and it's cheaper and we can make cheese for more people. And then you realize that cheese kind of sucks.
That cheese,
that's not really
and it's
very
killing
good.
Us.
Yeah, and it's and you know what? Yeah, it turns out it's going to kill us all because mm-hmm. it causes cancer or whatever. And then we start figuring out how to make cheap good cheese in that factory process.
And then hilariously, I think when you have the vegetarian meat, you will have a sub faction of rich people who think that eating like the real artisanal animal meat is healthier. Meat will become the new health food.
Totally.
Where they go like, well, this is so processed and it has all the chemicals and it has the mind control chemicals from the government. And
you
it
eat
has
hydroponic
the...
meat?
Yeah, it'd be like tofu. Be the same idea.
Right.
Yeah. That'll exactly. come out and they'll be like, oh, you know, it'll start with all the health food stores. It'll be super expensive. And then you'll start to be able to buy it like a bread maker mm-hmm. and make your own fake meat at home.
Right. But it will be I really do think it's going to be indistinguishable.
It'll be hell on the meat is murder slogan, though, because some meat won't be murder. Unless it's like some kind of, you know, detracted murder where by having the factory where they make it, they're, you know, polluting the air and killing people. But it's not the same as like shooting the cow in the head.
No, a lot of people are going to be out of cause work. Which is going to be mm-hmm. awesome because those people are annoying.
My wife actually has that shirt that says "Meat is Murder," but underneath it, the tiny little text says "Tasty Murder."
Uh-huh. And I totally agree.
Tasty.
Yeah. All right.
Although I had one last thing though, you know, recently I've actually become a fan of fake meat. I've been eating like tofu-based nuggets. No, actually, soy nuggets.
The soy nuggets.
And you know what it is once I started to accept them. As not actually meat, mm-hmm. but tasty for what they are, I totally love them.
And there's no weird veins in them.
Textured soy protein, though, I'm not...
It's not good for you. That stuff's terrible.
I'm a little suspicious.
It's estrogen central. But those the soy corn dogs that they sell at Trader Joe's are freaking
awesome. Oh, but my
tits look amazing.
Yeah.
So wait. Where are you getting nuggets with veins in them, Molly? Where's that come from?
Oh, you've never seen that?
Nuggets don't have
You've never
veins.
Seen a nugget with a vein in it?
Yeah.
No,
oh, that right. happens. Oh, come on.
No, those are made in, like, centrifuges.
Dude, you will totally once in a while get, like, a nugget with a big chunk of gristle or, like, a vein in it or whatever. Oh, yeah, please. Oh,
they're
yeah.
not They're not red. They're, like, kind of brownish.
Yeah, but yeah. it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It has
it's
happened.
Like, it's like shrimp. You get that little, whatever that is.
Oh, nugget.
That's
man.
Totally different. That's a line of poop, and they should take that out of your shrimp. You should. If you're finding poop in your shrimp, you don't want to go back there.
No poop in your shrimp. That was our title. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get the long-term prediction from Colleen.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. I use Squarespace. ForecastPodcast.com uses Squarespace. It's awesome. Has an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing your website or blog. Optimized for beginners as well as all you CSS nerds out there. Hundreds of designs and templates to choose from. The service is just so easy to use and such a great interface. You need to go check it out. Put a photo gallery up there. Maybe make a form builder. A Google Maps all integrated. Tracking of traffic. Everything you might need for your blog or website. Go check them out. Squarespace.com. Don't forget, if you want to get a free trial, go to squarespace.com with no credit card needed. Just try it and build it. If you decide you want to purchase it, get 10% off when you order it using the code CAST, that's CAST, at squarespace.com.
And we thank them for sponsoring Forecast.
And Indeed. They're actually the bomb.
Yeah?
Squarespace is really good. We use them for Void.
Yeah, we, as Scott mentioned, we use them here on the ForecastPodcast.com as well.
Yeah, they're great.
Don't hold that against them, though.
Exactly. Hey, thanks for clarifying that. All right, Smarty. On to you. Your long-term prediction. Colleen, what do you got for us?
Oh, what was my prediction? I totally had one, and I'm blanking. No, my prediction is better memory.
I see what you did there.
Oh, God, what's my prediction? I had my prediction, and I'm blanking.
Oh, seriously?
I totally had to go to it. I'm seriously blanking.
I really
blanking.
Thought better memory
it's,
was
it's like American Idol.
Yeah. Edit point. Yeah, the pressure.
She's panicking.
That prediction was horrible.
Okay, I remember my prediction. Okay, my prediction is that the population of the planet Earth will be cut to a quarter of what it is now.
You kind of alluded to that in the last episode, actually. So, yeah, tell us more about that. What's going to happen? How's this going down?
Well, when it comes down to it, we have the ability to live like kings and queens.
Damn hell,
with automation, with technology, with computers. We can do pretty much amazing things, and we could have so much leisure time. But the problem is we have this obsession with growth and building more and doing more and making more of us. And the fact of the matter is we keep making ourselves live longer, we keep consuming more resources, and we keep not dying, unfortunately, at birth. And we at the same time think that it's somehow a freedom to be able to breed at the same exact methodology, which is as much as humanly possible, whenever, you know, that's a freedom. You know, it's like, oh, I can breed, therefore I should.
Right.
But why don't we have fewer children? What if we had a quarter of the children that they had, that we have now, and we left them a world rich with resources? What if they were able to live luxurious lives where they're not constantly obsessed with more?
So you're basically saying there's too many people.
Oh, God, you have no idea.
But how are we going to get to less people?
So do we get to – okay, because in the industrialized world, the birth rates flatten out or sometimes decline. And then as countries start to get richer, we see the same thing starting to happen. Do you see a kind of a nirvana wonderful future where this starts just happening for the entire world and we start to flatten out?
I see the point where it gets so bad that we have no other choice than to legislate birth. And we – will have the technology to make it so that birth is something that's decided upon when people want to get pregnant. Not accidentally, not like, oh, maybe I should or whatever, but it becomes a decision where people who want to be parents become parents.
So it's like a license.
I'm not even saying society necessarily will make it illegal for people to do it without a license. What I'm saying is there's a lot of people who are born accidentally. Or because, I'm at the age I should. No, I think it's going to become something where we only reproduce when we really want to and when we really think it's a good idea. And I think that the majority of social ills are actually based on overpopulation. And I think the only way that we're going to get to the point is, again, some major catastrophe that upsets the status quo. And, you know, wars over water and oil and it could be air. I know. I saw Spaceballs. But I
truly, a very predictive film.
Total Recall. Total Recall all the way.
But I really think that we're gonna end up where eventually society realizes that we do have to stop breeding as much as humanly possible like insects. Otherwise, we're going to kill the host. I mean, if a virus just reproduces to no end, it'll kill the host and then it dies, right?
I've always thought that the Earth would just kind of self-correct us out of existence if we went too far.
That's a catastrophe.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a catastrophe for us. I used to get in the arguments with my friends who are really environmental in Austin. They're like, no, we have a moral responsibility to take care of the Earth. It's like, no, the Earth doesn't care. The Earth will just like cure itself and get rid of us if we become the problem.
We are a form of life, not the form of life.
Yeah,
will continue.
If we want to take care of the Earth, it's for our good.
Exactly.
Not for the Earth's good. The Earth doesn't care. The Earth is a lot more sedate and powerful than we are.
It's like, oh, it's a couple of degrees warmer. I don't care.
So you think there will be a catastrophe that kind of shocks us into this idea then?
Oh, I think it's going to be global warfare.
And you brought up the water wars, which is something that is a common theme. If you're going to be a longtime listener of Forecast mm-hmm. and start to take away trends and hear something over and over, the water wars thing seems to be the thing that, you know, wisdom of the crowds at play here.
Water is a pretty, I mean, water is something we're going to have to fix, and we're going to have to fix it soon. And if I, and I think that that is, you know, what we need to turn our technological prowess toward. I think that, I mean, I take a slightly more positive view of humanity. I agree that there are way too damn many of us, but I think that's what's, you know, discovering other planets is for, because we're going to have to get off this rock pretty darn soon.
I'll agree on that one.
But I think
but I don't think that will come before the fact that we actually have to control our population.
So, okay.
I don't think it's our I mean, I really do think that the biological imperative will actually compel us to find a new home before we are forced to control our population. I just don't think that it's because I think it would have to be legislated. I'm not sure that people would come. You're saying that there would be a point where people would come to the realization themselves as a society that it's better for everyone if we breed less. But I'm not sure that we're capable of that, because I do feel like fundamentally, although we're more technologically advanced than any other species that's ever existed on Earth, up till now, we're still animals.
And we still desire to procreate.
No. I disagree with that. I think there's a lot of people. I have zero desire to reproduce ever. My sister has zero desire to reproduce ever. I know a lot of people who don't. I think when we're when you've got a whole life of luxury and video games and televisions and all the fake meat you could eat, I mean, a kid is really an imposition.
Yes and no. I mean, Scott, you've got a lot of kids laying around your house there. What's your perspective?
Well, I have three. Yeah, I have three children.
Kids everywhere.
Three times as many as Molly.
That is three.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, I only have the one.
They're not allowed to actually give me their opinion on it, because their kid may one day hear this.
Calling them out early.
For all I know, one of my kids are going to be the ones that discover how to finally get us off this rock and get us relocated on the moon or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I do think that there are, you know, you're right. There are people who don't want to have children. There are people who legitimately do not want to have children and never will. I think that
there's a social pressure for a lot of people to have children. I think there should be a social pressure for them to not.
I think that may be the case, that there should be. I think that the social pressure comes from the behavior of the herd, and that the behavior of the herd is for the majority to procreate.
I think that's going to change. I think the herd benefits when it's a herd of tons of people who live to be 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The herd benefits from not everyone breeding every 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is.
But that means the herd will still be having kids in their 60s, because we've gotten to go to 100 now. And the 60s, the new 30, and
it's true.
They kind of are. That's what Madonna
was born, and a lot of people look at me and they're like, you know, whoa.
I mean, one of the things we're using technology for is to have babies when we're freakishly old. I mean, that is what Madonna is all about. You know, I mean, people are really, but I had my son when I was 31, I think, and I was the youngest woman in my mom's group. Everyone around me was older. Affluent, more educated people are having fewer children, but they're having them older. And I think that they're going to feel that they have such a much longer reproductive life that you're still going to see just as many kids born. It just might be a little slower.
That's fine, but I want people to only reproduce once and not reproduce accidentally.
I don't want it to be the law. I think it would have to be the law.
Yeah.
You know what? I do want it to be the law.
I knew I was going to get you there.
I knew it. I wouldn't pass that law.
I know. I was like, at some point, take it. She's going to say it's out of the law.
I'm just glad on a show where we're talking about artificial meat and veins in our nuggets, we brought up Madonna, because she's the perfect example of both those things for me. And motherhood.
Her nuggets, I've seen.
That was comedy nirvana that you just accomplished right there. I'm speechless.
Honestly, I believe that we're going to get to the point where every time somebody else has a children, we think, ooh, less for me. That sucks.
Do you think that children are just an imposition and it's a social pressure? Or, there's.
Well, I don't. See, this is the thing. I'm 100% sure that Colleen does and should and has every right to feel like she does not want to reproduce. And that is awesome, because that means that this real problem could be solved by enough people who aren't going to fall to whatever cultural pressures they may have in their life, whether it's something very local and, you know, sort of family based and getting a lot of pressure to have kids. When are you going to give me grandchildren? That kind of thing.
Right.
Or mm-hmm. if it's something more societal, whatever it may be, I'm glad that that's happening, because then if more of that will be allowed to happen, people like me and perhaps Molly who want kids and love our kids and couldn't wait to do it and have them. I take the do it part out. My wife doesn't listen to the show. Anyway, the point is that I still think that is inalienable human right. I still can't talk for anybody to be able to make that choice and do that as much as it is for people to make that other choice. The question is, when can you legislate the choice out of it? And I don't know, man, that is a sticky mess right there.
No, I'm not suggesting that we do legislate it. I was saying that society is going to reach a point socially, relatively soon, where it becomes uncool to have children.
I mean, I think to a certain extent that is happening. I mean, I think it's fair to say that that's happening in certain...
Certainly happening in certain
sectors. It's happening in certain areas and certain sectors, yeah. I mean, I think it's become part of kind of a green lifestyle to only have one kid or to only have two kids. And there is sort of a zero population idea that if you have three kids that, you know, in Berkeley, that it's considered a little irresponsible, you know, which is,
yes.
I mean, I think that that is definitely happening in
it's
small
just irresponsible
pockets.
To have kids in Berkeley, isn't it?
Well, it's irresponsible.
I was born in Berkeley,
it's irresponsible to have cars.
I kid.
It's irresponsible to have cars in Berkeley, but you can have a couple kids if you want to.
Say that to my sports car. My meat.
Oh, that's why I do not live there.
I have to just
I like cars.
Just because Molly took me to task for not having to do predictions on our prediction show, I'll throw in an adjunct here. I think Colleen is right about the culture. I think it's going to start. We're going to get to a point where it's going to be seen as questionable. Maybe not to have one kid, but to have two or three.
Right.
And I think that's true. I do think that the population, there might be a catastrophe, but barring a catastrophe, the population is going to level out and then start to decline. I think if all goes as it is right now, everything I've read leads me to believe that, you know, what we actually just need to do is progress all of the different cultures and societies on the planet into, you know, some level that is, you know, above poverty, and people start to, you know, get more educated. They start to have a little more forethought about family planning. And
but what happens if we live to be 300 years old?
But part of the thing that happens, Colleen, I think, is that when you talk about people having as many kids as humanly possible, a lot of times they don't want to. I mean, it is the case that as societies become more industrial and educated and affluent, they do have fewer children because they do have access to birth control. They do have fewer priests telling them that there are holes in condoms and the holes are there to let AIDS through like they have in Africa. So you've got all kinds of nightmarish social situations, including women who are having
babies. You mean
babies.
They don't have the holes in them for AIDS?
They don't, actually, and they should use them in Africa.
No way.
So then you've got women having babies every year. And it is essentially a socially oppressive situation that has nothing to do with necessarily the desire to have kids. It's got everything to do with access to education and reproductive rights.
And but so you really want to share? Say we live to be 300. Do you really want to share your resources for the next 300 years with 6 billion people?
We all just deadhead like in Cory Doctorow's Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom.
but okay. So if you're you make a really good point, but I just think it's so hard to say. Like China does this, right? They say, okay, you can have one, and if it's a boy, if it's a girl, well, okay, you can have maybe two. Try to get that boy out of there. Isn't that kind of what they do? It's like super sexist and weird,
pretty much
and repressive, and everything else. I don't think I want that. Are there studies that say industrialized nations have this birth rate as mm-hmm. compared to emerging nations or third world countries?
Most definitely.
So what do those numbers look like? I wish I had something in front of me.
It says that industrialized nations reproduce at a replacement rate or below. Mm-hmm. Other nations do not.
Okay. So like Tom says, the population stays the same or declines. And I think that you're right, that as we get the world to a level, you know, as the future is evenly distributed.
As everyone has the cloud and wireless broadband and can
get
information.
Load balancing.
And condoms.
Right.
I mean, literally, condoms. Like, it's going to come down to and condoms.
Yeah, condoms are ineffective. We need to honestly be sterile until otherwise.
Some sort of planning of some sort.
Yeah. Or some sort of planning of some sort. That is an interesting, like, crazy-ass idea, though, that we will start to re-engineer ourselves so that we're sterile until we desire otherwise.
Oh, are you kidding me? We so are. We're going to be genetically engineering the crap out of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. That's a good.
Especially after we're mostly robot.
And that is a good place to leave it off as a teaser to the next episode. We got one more episode with Colleen and Molly next week where we will talk about the crazy ass predictions and get the four questions. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, indeed.
Mollywood, you can find her CNET.com, obviously.
Yeah, and I have a new thing, news.cnet.com/MollyRants. I think it actually might, and I'm sorry, it's not my fault, be Molly-Rants. Or you could just go to Google and search for CNET Molly Rants, and you can find my new blog, which is, it's called Molly Rants.
And you can see the effect of Colleen's excellent engineering work at twit.tv. Anything else you want to promote?
No, not really.
All right. Fair enough.
Maybe later.
Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow Scott Johnson at twitter.com/extralife, and you can follow me at twitter.com/acedetect if you can figure out how to spell it. I'll see you later.
Bye. But it's only 32 years away.